Hello and welcome to the Ebony POV, a podcast that talks about everything in the Big Brother universe from an ebony point of view. I'm your host, Michael B., and I'll be here to discuss everything Big Brother, from the fights to the competitions to the house guests and to the strategies, and give a perspective from an African American's point of view. Thank you for joining us, and we can't wait to get started with and talk about everything Big Brother. Welcome and happy day after Kesar's birthday. I'm Michael B., and we are back for another episode of the Ebony POV, where we talk about everything Big Brother All-Stars 2, aka BB22. It is Tuesday, August 11th. I said April for some reason. And we're going to talk about the things that happened on yesterday's feeds. Obviously, it was Kesar's birthday. This was the first birthday, well, the third birthday that he spent in the house, but the first birthday that he wasn't kicked out of the house. So a lot of the things that happened on the feeds happened around that. Of course, we're also going to talk about the updated daily rankings. You know, my opinion of the 16 house guests, that if either the audience or the house guests voted today on who would win, this would be the rankings of the 16. So let's go ahead and get started. Okay, so the first thing that we want to talk about, as I just mentioned earlier for yesterday, the big thing was it was all around Kesar's birthday. So from the beginning, right like at midnight, where they said happy birthday to him, and Keisha even gave a little something for the fans around midnight, saying, "Anybody want cake?" Which, you know, is infamous from her own birthday that happened in Big Brother 10. And it's interesting that she remembered that, because, as you know, it wasn't actually her that said that. That was Libra. But, I mean, I know she did that as a friend for the fans, so thank you, Keisha. But everything, for the most part, that was non-game related centered around Kesar's birthday. So, which leads me to the number two part, that Janelle was definitely the Big Brother mom yesterday, because she took it upon herself to celebrate Kesar's birthday by baking him a cake, a lemon zest cake that she baked from scratch, but also feeding the entire house tacos, even plant-based meatless tacos for the vegans in the house, like Tyler and like Danny Briones. So she cooked both of those meals. She actually made a two-layer lemon zest cake, even used lemons, you know, the zest on top. And for the most part, she was cooking this in her yellow dress of a costume. And then when she got to the other stuff, she put on her star costume. So kudos to Janelle being the Big Brother mom for the day. And like, when people talked about it, she was like, "Well, I am a mom of three. What do you expect?" So yeah, it makes sense. And I'm glad that she was able to do that. I think strategically, game move wise, of course, there's nothing wrong with being the mom in the house. You always go far if you could cook for everybody. You can even win if you cook for everybody, ask June. But besides that, I think it was great that she was able to do that for her friend that she's known forever, ever since BB6. Also added the fact that Kesar actually shares a birthday with her middle child. So she said that she was kind of doing it kind of to get over being sad of not being there for her son's 7-year-old birthday. But the fact that, you know, her and him and Kesar have the same birthday, by cooking and dinner and cake for Kesar, she's kind of doing the same thing for her son. So I'm glad she was able to kind of relieve some of that sadness that way. The other main thing, that this was the full, like, one of the full day outside. Well, not always outside, but a full day outside for the house guests. So Monday, you got to see them finally by the pool. You got to see them hang around on the hammock in the daylight. And you can see them in the couch area also in the daylight, having some game conversations, but also, you know, just some friendly stuff. A lot of tea being spilled about past seasons and past house guests and fan sightings and stuff like that. Which leads me to the other thing. This alliance that we talked about last episode is really starting to gel. I mean, the main problem is that it should have gelled a long time ago, but we have to remember, or at least I have to remember, is that we usually don't see the game within, we really don't within the first 6 days. They do enough editing to try and fool us when they do night one evictions or our first week evictions that they've only been there for 7 days, but we all know that they usually have been there longer than that. We really don't get night fees from night one. The only other time that we've actually done that, of course, is when we had BBOTT. But like I said, these six with Memphis and Danny Donato and Nicole F and Cody and Christmas and Tyler, with kind of being the six but still technically on the outs, again it's starting to gel, but like everybody's talking about it but not really 100% committing to it. I think a good quote is that everybody wants to float in this first week, and they don't really want to 100% commit to something until they see who wins HOH after Cody. But it is solidifying with a lot of the inroads and a lot of the kind of the cracks are already there. I think by mid game, if it even lasts to mid game, I think this group of six will split and it'll be 3-3. It's not like on paper it's not solid. I think it's a good plan. I don't like the fact that they were initially thinking about including Bailey and Davon in this six some way, and now they're not doing that. I also don't like the fact that Enzo is not a part of it, and if Enzo finds out about this, there's going to be some problems. But it is forming. At least we can say there's a big alliance, and with everybody playing so scared, at least we can say there's something that's going on strategy-wise. In this game. So with that, those are really the big highlights. Like I said, everything centered around Kesar's birthday. But we had some light moments. Like we found out that Janelle is an admin on Tyler's Facebook page, fan page, along with Tyler's mother, which is something. Like I said, we saw Tyler and Bailey interacting a lot more. We see Ian actually, interacting more, especially now that they've been outside doing a lot more talking. So there was a lot more socializing, not a lot of gaming, particularly not from the two nominees who are still on the block. And we got that officially when Enzo decided officially to not use the veto on Monday. But let's go ahead and get into the rankings, because you won't see much change in the rankings, but where they are placed now, with what happens over the weekend and Monday, you'll see kind of where you'll see where the games are going. So let's get into these rankings. All right, so let's get into the daily rankings for up to August 10th. As you know, I just like the premiere episode, we take the rankings and group the contestants in groups of four. And we go from the 16 to 13, which I call the bottom four, and then the next segment of four will be the struggle four. The next segment after that would be the underdog four, and then the final segment, the top of the class would be known as the fantastic four. So let's go ahead and get started with the bottom four and number 16. I have Nicole Anthony. I had her yesterday. I still think she is still playing the worst game. I think socially she's still sticking to Kevin. It is helping that some people, in despite of her efforts, are wanting to keep Kevin. And she's a little bit too stuck on that, but again, she's not being assertive. The point is, though, that mo many people, like Danny Donato and Nicole F, even Janelle and Kesar to a point, are not wanting to ride along with her and thinking of her as the next boot, which would be kind of sad. But at the same time, you have to understand that a lot of these casts not only are former winners and former runners-up, but they're former America's Favorites. So why would you want, knowing that there's probably some fan votes coming, why would you want the person who like won almost two-thirds of the fan favorite vote last year to be in contention for any audience advantages that may be coming? So I kind of get the logic of it, adds to the fact that she's not really gelling well. She's letting her insecurities and letting her what people are calling PTSD from last year's season, get to her and not really play the potential that she did toward the later part of BB21. But that's why she still lasts. But again, like I said, things can change between now and the HOH competition that's happening on Thursday, considering the fact that possibility that if she does work out and that her quote unquote bestie in the game stays, she'll still have a chance to survive the week, especially if they consider if he stays to try and nominate him again if he's not safe. At number 15, we have Keisha. People are still, like I said, when I'm thinking about Kevin, people are still wanting to keep her in spite of her efforts. She's not really campaigning, at least not to the right people. I think she's going off assumptions that because she is an old school player, the old school people like Janelle, Kesar, and especially her former cast or former and current cast, Kate Memphis, would keep her automatically and think she has more votes than she actually does. But people are talking about her game around her, and that's not good. So even if, like I was talking about Nicole A with Kevin, if Keisha decides to stay because people want to use her, she will still be on the chopping block later because she's not making those bonds, both with the people that may want to keep her and, more importantly, with the people that may not. That being said, some people that are discussing to possibly keep her is Cody, of all people, and discussed this with Danny Donato. So it's, even though I would definitely say that Kevin is the one that's more safe at the moment, it's not out of the woods yet. So in some ways, it's not helping her, but because people are seeing her as a number instead of seeing her as a force to be reckoned with, like she was in Big Brother 10, she might have a chance to stay. However, like I said, she needs to be playing a lot more in order to do this by Tuesday night, or definitely by Wednesday. She needs to try to get a clear read on who's voting for what, and once she realizes that it's not in her favor, she needs to turn it up because she doesn't have anything to lose at that point. Which brings us to number 14, which is Kevin. Like, Kevin's let his anxiety subside a little bit. He's being a lot more personal and being able to talk game with people. Again, he's not really doing it with everybody, but he is trying to talk with everybody, specifically Cody, and specifically people that he already has, in his opinion, already guaranteed votes, like Davon and Nicole Anthony. The problem is, like, I miss the sneaky Kevin of Big Brother 10 that made Russell and Big Jeff fight. Right now, he doesn't need to kiss up. He needs to promise people that he's going to undercut the people that he believes in the majority alliance. He needs to play that up more. But he is trying to save himself as well as depending on his allies to help save them. So that is something. That's why I have him at number 14 of the bottom four. And to round out the bottom four, I have Christmas. Now, Christmas is not in a bad spot when you think about how the game has up to this point. But more and more people are talking about her, and she's in the category, since we're so early in the game, of people that once the first HOH happens, she could be a possible nomination regardless of who is up there because they feel like they would get the least blood on her hands. And that's why I have her in the bottom four. But she's barely there. Her social game is still good, even though it seems like she's starting to grind on people's nerves a bit because she's still talking more and more, and she's not assuming that she's in a power position like she did last year. She is talking game, but people are not taking her seriously. So she isn't one of those people like Nicole Anthony, and like whoever's left of Keisha and Kevin. She's definitely a possibility of a nom next week, regardless of which side gets HOH. And that's why I have her in the bottom four. All right, now that we've talked about the bottom four, let's talk about the struggle four. I always like this particular set of people because, yes, you can probably be more critical of them than the ones that I feel like that are really at the bottom of the totem pole. But I feel like they're the ones that have the most potential to go up or go down, regardless of who's in front or behind them. So let's start with the struggle four with number 12 at Enzo. Again, like, I'm sticking to the fact that Enzo winning the power of veto and not using it on Kevin when he was his house guest choice is going to be a damaging move. I'm not going to say a game-ending move, but definitely going to be a damaging move. And people won't forget that. And most importantly, people who think they are in power at the moment, like Cody and Memphis and Danny Donato, don't forget that. They're not. really trusting of Enzo right now. They know he's a great number. They know he'll be a loyal soldier and probably vote how he wants him to vote, but they're not really including him in that. But at the same time, Enzo is not stupid. He's going to realize that very quickly, and he's setting up some side stuff with Bailey and Devon and some of the other people around just in case. So he's not as, you know, naive as you would think. However, he's one of those people that he's good and funny and all of that when things are going his way and he feels like he's not in trouble. But he's one of those people that do have a temper. You didn't get to see it much in BB12 because, you know, everything was always going his way. The only time he really showed his temper was when he wasn't winning competitions. But now you see that he is a smart mind and, you know, he's personable, has a great social game as far as personality goes, and he can actually win a cop. I think if he wins the second cop, second competition, he's definitely going to be in more danger because, like, Enzo has improved despite the fact he's got it older. He got to go. Which brings us to number 11, Dani Briones. She got to go. She is starting to get on my last nerve. Her chaotic gameplay is too much this first week. I am so sorry. I mean, think about it. She talks to someone and then throws them under the bus with the next person. Like, she says she loves Bailey and Devon, but then the next person, specifically Cody, usually, she wants to get rid of Bailey, probably she wouldn't mind either one of them going, but she's so scared of that pair that she wants to break them up. But I think that's her plan. As soon as she breaks one of them up, preferably Bailey at this point, because she talks more to Devon, she's going to scoop Devon so quick, and then she's going to have that same relationship in her mind that her and Kalia did in BB13. But she feel like Bailey's in the way. She probably feels like she can have it with either one of them, but one of them has to go in order to do it. But she keeps just being kind of not really nasty, but she has no filter. It's as simple as that. And the no filter attitude that she had in BB8 and BB13 that you kind of love, people loved it more in BB13 though, in my opinion, is getting her in trouble on social media, specifically when she's talking about Nicole, Anthony, and Ian, specifically talking about, you know, his, you know, issues with autism and anxiety, and it's getting worse and worse, and we're only in the first week. We haven't even had an eviction yet. I think once she starts, you know, feeling herself, she's really going to get started, and people are going to remember why they voted for her father instead of her at BB8. Like I said, she's situated well, but she's one of those people, like, she could end up, you know, in trouble on a dime, and it's not like she won't be safe. It's just that she can spend a week, you know, being on the outs with people because of things she said, like, and she gets the power of veto, but then she's going to be playing defensive the whole time. This go around, she doesn't need to be playing defensive the whole time. She needs to be in a more invisible and more offensive position, but I think she's going to be going back to playing defensive all the time, and it's only a matter of time before they wear her down and get her out. Which brings us to number 10, Nicole Franzel. Now, yesterday I was a little bit, I think, more upbeat on her, but again, Janelle scares everything out of her. She talked and she did the same thing that I was talking about Dani Donato earlier, that she was talking all night with Janelle, well, not all night, but, you know, late into the night with Janelle about her boyfriend's past and present, and then goes to complain later that people are keeping her up. And again, that's not helping her on the feeds, I mean, on social media, and it's not helping her in her game. And now it seems that there are more cracks in this sixth alliance. For the first time, we can really see that both Cody and Dani Donato, who earlier this week when the game started, that they were tight. Like, Cody and Dani were like, are for real number one, number two. But they both talk game and include Nicole Franzel. Now they're more weary of her. Now they think, well, she's too unstable. That she's more on the outs now in the six. Not quite as on the outs as Tyler, but she's more on the outs of the six, and I think that her emotional gameplay is going to catch up with her. I really think she needs to win HOH to keep her agency in the game, even though that'll put a bigger target on her, because once she actually for real makes enemies, even if it's the quote unquote enemies of the house, is going to hurt her. Add to the fact again that she is a winner, she always had that target on the back. It's going to be an uphill battle for her. But personally, I'm not liking her this season. She needs to do better. She needs to not go against a girl. She really needs to. They had the Fatal Five in BB18 with these women on this cast. She 100% needs to actually do that and actually follow through with that. I mean, it is redeeming that she really is 100% trying to work with Davon, even if it's just for show. Davon can use that because Davon doesn't trust her anyway. But she is on the bottom. I don't think she'll be. She's not one of those like Christmas that are probably in danger of nomination, regardless of who's HOH, obviously. But more people have their eyes on her. More people are irritated by her. She is definitely in danger of possibly being a double eviction boot. I'll just call it like that if she lasts that long. Which brings to number nine, Ian, and he's in the same position. I think right now he's probably a little bit safer than Nicole, because people that are not in the main alliance would probably still want to keep him, and right now they outnumber this six, especially a six that aren't so quite gelled and could go either way on certain nominations at any point. But he's definitely worked himself a lot better with ends with people. Now again, he's still a winner. He may, depending on how the tide flows with the next HOH, he could be on the block next week and could be the next one to go, because they definitely 100% want to make sure at least one winner is out of the house. Now, Enzo, if he had his way, it'd be funny if Enzo gets HOH. But if Enzo had his way, he would definitely be gone next, because he said no winner, and that includes Nicole F. No winner will win this season as far as he's concerned, because All Stars should, it's not winners, it's not Big Brother Winners at War, it's Big Brother All Stars, which means it shouldn't be a person does two time yet. So that's going to be funny with Ian, but Ian is getting better, and like once Ian starts turning on, God help them. But he's more in danger than he realizes, even though he's definitely upped his game socially a little bit. He's still more in danger than he realized. I do think if they don't backdoor him, if he gets on the block, he will win his way off, whether it be himself or someone else, and then that's where we're gonna see Ian shine. But he's still struggling, and that's why he's in the struggle four. All right, so we've covered the bottom four and the struggle four. So let's get into the underdog four. There hasn't been much change with the underdog four, but there's been some adjustments since the last podcast. But number eight is still the same, Kesar. Kesar's birthday, I think, helped him out. I think it was able to really talk to him, and people were be able to know him more on a personal level. The thing with Kesar is he is very intellectual, and he loves to get in deep conversations, which for sometimes, if he feels it is superficial, or if he wants to be superficial, it can definitely be condescending when he talks, and it can be received that way. So because he made such a power play early in the game, which technically they're looking down on, but like it's All Stars, you had to protect yourself. And it's kind of interesting that he's in trouble because he thought he wasn't safe for nomination when that was the actual truth. That was Cody's actual plan. Even if he didn't necessarily feel one way or the other about Kesar and Janelle, at least Kesar was in trouble. And it's kind of interesting, like, why would he get in trouble? Like, why would he feel that? Because Cody, you didn't lie. You didn't lie well enough. And sorry, you need to lie better. He felt he was in trouble. He was right. And there are people getting mad off as if Kesar being in trouble wasn't true. It is true. It was true, and it still is. Kesar needs to win HOH this round. He really does. Which, like I said, if he actually wins it, that will mean that he all three seasons he's played, he's been the second HOH of the season, which I think would be awesome. So he's still in danger. The point is, people can keep Kesar off the block. People, I think Kesar, if he wanted to, if somebody that's not Cody or not Enzo, possibly not Memphis, were to talk to Kesar, they might consider keeping Kesar safe just to shake up the house through the safety suite, or decide to veto him just to make the some kind of backdoor move to put on their resume. Even though Kesar won this competition with the safety suite, is he's not a resume builder, at least not yet. And that what may be what saves him, which brings me to number seven, David. So David again is being more sociable, talking to people. He's running around a bit too much, but right now people are not looking him as a target. They're looking at him as a so he would still be a waste of an HOH, but still people may target him. Just not necessarily target him, but go ahead and let him go because he doesn't seem as beneficial except for being a number. That being said, nobody's really talking or trying to include him as a number, but they're not really, they're not really trying to really bring him in. So they're acknowledging that he's there. They're talking and thinking he's nice and everything, but they're not really including him as a main alliance. However, at this early in the game, if you're ignored enough, you can plant your anchor to make it far. And David is one that's being ignored enough that he can make it far out of the game. And I personally can't wait to see it, even though like he's impressed me a little bit, even though he has some hangups, but especially the way that he's talking with Bailey and Devon, especially the way he's talking with Ian, and sharing his thoughts and feelings about what's going on with Nicole Anthony, his fellow castmate from BB21, he's got a shot to make it far. People are still looking at him though, especially because he has been talking with Cody and Tyler. So people like he may be caught in the crossfire of that, but right now he considering all that happened last year, I mean, I definitely think he should have him number one. Like he's in the best position ever compared to last year. He's probably enjoying it that they can actually breathe for once in the Big Brother house instead of having to be on tippy toe because of the power structure of last season. So let's go to number six at Memphis. You know what? I was kind of right about my hesitation on Memphis. I did the first time we did this podcast. I did rank him at number one at the daily, and he has he's shown a little bit more of that BB10 Memphis that I did not like. But I will say today, like with him at number six, that he's put himself in a good spot. The main problem is that it's very contingent of who wins next HOH, because he will either be an also nom, and what I mean by that is that he'll be a nom to either get at Cody or possibly get at Enzo or Tyler, or he won't be nominated, but because of the way he's setting up this Big Six alliance, the quote unquote unusual suspects that his cards will be shown, especially with this vote. People will put together with this vote, if Keisha leaves, they'll put together that he didn't vote for her to stay. And once that happens, it doesn't matter who's in power. He may bio week, but I think he will go down with that, and his temper and his ego will let it be known where his cards truly lie. And that's the dangerous thing for Memphis right now. But he's at number six because there has been so much little gameplay and things are not at a standstill, but kind of, people are treading water. He's at a place now where he can still try to create those bonds. But I do believe that his temper and his ego will start to get in the way. And I don't know, he'll be as high as number six after this first eviction. Which brings me to number five, Cody. Cody did a lot more socially yesterday for Kesar's birthday. Talked with a lot of people. He talked and had a great conversation with Janelle when he was in the kitchen. They were both in the kitchen before they had the cake and the tacos. And he talked with everybody both outside and inside. Still, being receptive to some gameplay from Memphis and Danny DeNardo and others. But he's definitely I mean, people saying like everybody, they love Cody. I think once he actually starts really trying to make a move, that opinion is going to change greatly. But right now, he's still, even with the first HOH, it's going as well as it could be. Specifically saying with the two noms not really gung-ho campaigning. If they were gung-ho campaigning and blaming Cody for setting up the upsetting the dynamic of the house, I do believe that he would be more in danger. I still think next HOH he could be danger, not because he may go home, is that he'll play the safety suite and win it. And then what happens with that one, once they have him win two competitions within 2 weeks, that puts a bigger target on his back. But two, more importantly, if he wins a safety suite, he has to save somebody else, and that is where he'll have to show his cards somehow. Either he'll fake it and supposedly pick somebody that he's not nominated with to try to throw him off the scent, which won't work. It'll make it worse. Or he'll just say, just like Kesar did, you know what? I'm good with Enzo. I'ma save Enzo, that for example. That being said, like he's still an underdog. That is Cody. He's gonna win competitions. Him being a pre-jury boot, I just don't see it. Even if that happens, like I said, I believe there's a battle back, so he'll be back. Even if worst case scenario, he's a pre-jury boot, which I don't believe will happen. But that is why he's at the top of the underdog four. All right, so at the end of the underdog four, of course, we have the Fantastic Four, the four people that I think right now, at this point, if we were voting as the audience, the live feed audience, or if the contestants themselves were voting, these four people would be at the top to be contention to win the game, or the game for whatever reason were to end right now. Number four, I actually have Davon. She dropped down a little bit, mainly because she was very absent from the feeds yesterday because she wasn't feeling well. So she was up in the upstairs part of the house for a good long time, and everybody was looking for her, like, where is Davon? Where is she? But she appeared just in time to exercise with Christmas and that group, but also to be a part of the birthday dinner and dessert. So she didn't. I mean, I want to say she didn't really lose any ground, because right now people still want to work with her. People, she's been when she was talking, she was talking well. Now this core six is excluding her. And they're kind of keeping her out and trying to track her movements. They're still so scared of the Bailey and Davon connection and possible final two that they're kind of keeping her at arm's length, it seems. But I think that will change once things really get start stirring up, because they're going to need her as a number and people actually like her. I think it's definitely going to change if by chance she wins either of these competitions next week, whether it be HOH, which in my opinion she should throw, or the Power of Veto. Once she actually wins one of these competitions, that's it. People like think she's definitely like people like Cody and people like Dane DiNotto are definitely going to attach to her more, because like, oh, she can win some stuff for us. No, we have to keep her. But I think right now, even with that, like I put her in number four because she's still. They're still keeping her at arm's length, but she's not going anywhere anytime soon. And there's many reasons for that. One, because she's social and she's friendly. And two, as Memphis said, they're keeping her for safety. And what I'm implying by that, this is the Ebony POV. I think they're keeping her because they don't want her as a person of color on the block, so they don't look bad. And, I mean, it is what it is. We're just going to say it. Until they show me something different that explicitly says that's wrong, I think that is a possibility. But I'm not going to say 100% for sure yet, but I will say that is a possibility. And we'll see what happens after this first eviction. Number three is Janelle. And you're probably wondering, why do I keep her being so high? Because she's Janelle. She is, she's a target for eviction. She will be every week. And that's kind of the reason why. Like, Janelle, there's no way she's going to be in the black backgrounds. But what she did yesterday for Kazar's birthday, like showing how much of a mom, how much of a quote unquote regular person she was, lets the Kowska see her as a regular person, not just Queen Janelle out her, even in her punishment suit, making a cake from scratch and cooking tacos, even meatless tacos for the vegans in the house, I think that worked wonders for her. While still being able to talk game with Danny, despite the fact that Danny is scared of her, like she still talks game with her because I think she still respects her. And then her constantly dropping tea, and I think people really didn't catch the fact that the implication that Janelle made when she said that she was a admin of Tyler's fan page. You know, on one hand, they're like, oh, that's so cute. Like, I'm glad that Tyler and Janelle are friends and now and connected with each other. But to me, that means that Janelle knows Tyler's moves back and forth because probably his fan page, which I've never seen and not a part of, but probably his fan page talks about all of his moves in the house and how great a player he is. That means Janelle knows exactly what Tyler is doing. She knew what he was doing in BB20, and she knows exactly what he's doing right now in Big Brother All Stars. That would give me he should be so afraid, right? Like, no, I got to get rid of Janelle. She knows exactly what I'm doing. Like, he didn't even know that she knew his mom via virtually. On the admin, on that being admin of his fan page, and then you know, just being there, the fact that he's been following, she knows what he's doing. Like, that would send me a red flag. I would now, me, I'm kind of emotional, I probably wouldn't be able to hide on my face. But once I realized that, like, oh, she gotta go, she knows what's up with me. That's not gonna happen at all. But the fact that she could casually mention that, as well as casually mention a lot of things, you know, dropping tea and all that stuff. Her social game is kind of on point for Janelle because, you know, Janelle is kind of like a polarizing figure when, at least in the house, it's like either you like her or you don't. You like her, you want to work with her, or you are completely against her. And if you're completely against her, you better hide somewhere because she will come straight for you if she knows it. Which is why, like, Nicole F needs to hide somewhere because Janelle is coming for her. But I love that, and I guess people don't really have really not caught that. Like, if Janelle is an admin on your fan page, she knows exactly what you're capable of. You should be afraid of that. Even though, in the end, if she already knows what you're capable of, she knows how to outmaneuver you quickly. So I think it's funny. I think this Janelle and Tyler fantasy final two that is in Nicole A's head might be happening a little bit quicker because, you know, as the saying goes, keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. And that means Janelle has been doing research on everybody just enough. If they are an all-star, she would know how to deal with them. And that means everybody. So if I were them, I would definitely keep a watch on her. But that fact is that means that her doing that, she knows what's going on with everybody. She acts like she may not know what is happening with people, but she definitely knows. And I'm surprised nobody else has caught that on Twitter, but that's probably one of the best indication that she has a lot of people clocked. Simple as that. But even then, I still have Tyler at number two. Tyler is playing such a social game, is working multiple relationship with his multitude of final twos that Janelle will still have to put in some work in order to get rid of him because he still has connections everywhere. At the same time, Janelle is not the only one who has eyes on getting out Tyler. Like I said, he's technically part of this final six, but he is definitely the sixth man in this six. They would have no problem, if necessary, cutting him and just making this a five. 100% that. More Cody and Danny Donato than Memphis on that front, but that's still the case. And in fact, most people know that he's so sociable and he's so likable, but they also know that that's his game and that's how he gets far in the game. He won't win comps until he absolutely need to, and then once he does, he goes on a roll with them. But like right now, they kind of know that. So like I said, he's not going anywhere. He's still just playing a similar game, which is kind of almost, entertaining, not as entertaining for the fans, but it's still a good game and it's still a working game right now. Now, once some of these twists starts coming in, we'll see what happens because, as we know, like one of the main times where he got so flustered, even though he did survive, in BB20, was when the twist hurt and hindered him. But we'll see what happens. At number one, of course, I still have Bailey. No one's coming for her, period. The only person that mentions her name is Danny Donato. And the only reason her name is mentioned is because of the Bailey Davon connection that they just can't get rid of. But Cody likes her. Janelle likes her. Kesar likes her. Kevin likes her, Nicole A likes her, all these people actually love her, actually. And you based and of course we have with the Bailey Day Vaughn final too, even Memphis likes her and wanted so hard to put them together in that six. And the only reason she's not in that six is because Danny Donato wants to break Danny Davon and Bailey up. But she's liked by Ian. And of course she's already talked with David, and Enzo loves both her and Devon. Right now she is, in my opinion, still the most safe in this house. Like I said, she still hasn't played the most strategic game yet. She has played socially. She doesn't have a correct read on the house as of yet, in my opinion. But she's still the most safe and still the most liked. And I believe if they voted today, they would give it to her. Even if it's not for the most justifiable of reasons. If they were to vote today, or if the audience vote today, Bailey would win. And that's why I have her at the top of the Fantastic Four. All right, so that is it for this live feed update for 8/11/2020. Thank you so much again for being a part of the Ebony POV and allowing me to express my unnecessary thoughts and opinions about Big Brother All Stars too. If you haven't subscribed, please, please subscribe. I would so love it to talk more about these episodes and this season. So, like I said, we're here on Apple, we're here on Google, and of course we are here on Anchor FM and all the major podcast outlets. And again, as I mentioned earlier, Ebony POV is a part of SoWrongForThat.com, and if you haven't checked out our website, please go to the website SoWrongForThat.com and check out our social media on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, where we talk not just about Big Brother but other things as well in a kind of satirical way, from an urban point of view. So thank you so much for the Ebony POV. Make sure you check us out tomorrow. We'll be dropping our late, but still, still pertinent review of Sunday night's episode. Of course, we have an episode of a new episode of Big Brother All Stars on Wednesday night, tomorrow night. So we'll be dropping a recap on that as well. And of course, we'll have our live update for Wednesday. So until then, thank you so much for joining us for the Ebony POV, and see you next time.